Utilize sales systems to dominate the market. If founders feel like they're wasting too much time on sales tasks, they can free themselves up by setting up a sales system. This system makes the process of getting customers simpler and smoother, breaking it down into a few key steps like sending emails, chatting online, tweeting, or making phone calls. By having a good sales system in place, founders can easily replace themselves with salespeople or deal with changes in their sales team without losing important knowledge about getting customers. This means they can stop spending so much time on selling themselves. And by improving their sales system, sales teams can make better use of their time and be more effective overall. The options for sales systems and marketing tools exploded from 150 in 2011 to 5,000 by 2017, offering a wide array of different tasks you need automated. These tools can take over repetitive jobs like sending tons of emails or gathering documents. Good sales systems give you insights into what works and what doesn't when it comes to getting new customers. To stand out in the market, set up a clear process in your company and pay attention to the words and images you use to get your message across. Operations by dividing the company into quadrants. Friction slows down your customers and messes with your sales. It's like obstacles in a race, making people drop out before they reach the finish line, thinking they don't need what you're offering. To make your life easier as a founder, split your company's operations into four parts. Who do you serve? What do you serve? Who are you? How do you serve? Then, set up sales systems in each part to clear away those obstacles. These systems help you see where the problems are and compare how you're doing against your competitors. Client demographic incompatibility. Focus on understanding who your target audience is in the first quadrant, Q1. Instead of seeing everyone as a potential customer, pinpoint the specific people or companies you serve. Look into your current customers' profiles and habits to gain insights into who you're not serving. Be aware of any changes in the market or outside factors that might bring new types of customers to you, giving you an edge over competitors who might miss them. Analyze your current customers' buying habits and what motivates them. This is often more important for sales than just knowing their age or gender. Figure out if your customers will tell you what prompts them to buy, like important dates or events. For instance, if you help with taxes, keep track of when people need to file and offer your services around those times. Create ways to encourage people to buy, like limited time offers, to make them feel a sense of urgency. By understanding your audience and their triggers, you can better tailor your approach and boost sales. Navigate customer relationships. Deciding which customers to serve isn't just about selling stuff. It's about helping them get what they want. Think about it like this. When someone buys from you, it's like they're inviting you into their journey to achieve their goals. So, even after they've bought your product, you've got to stick around and make sure they're happy. Some customers need a lot of attention. They're what we call high touch, but giving them all that TLC can be costly. So, it's smart to figure out how to streamline things, make the process more low-key, and still keep them satisfied. It's not just about the customers. You've also got to keep other important folks happy, like your investors or the bigwigs who call the shots. For instance, if you're in a fancy field like fintech, you've got shareholders to please, and they're not shy about speaking up. And if you're playing in a regulated sandbox, you've got government rules to follow. Clearly state current features and avoid promising future ones. Revamp your second quadrant, Q2, on our product fact sheet, a guide available to everyone about the latest version of our product. Give a transparent breakdown of its capabilities and limitations. Steer clear of future promises. Only talk about what we currently offer. No fluff, just what's in our toolbox. Offer alternatives if something's missing. Think about offering multiple products to keep our existing customers happy. When two startups sell the same thing, like insurance, standing out isn't easy. But if you shape your brand to reflect common values or offer a unique experience, customers will see you differently from your rivals. This is what insurance companies do. Since customers don't often deal with insurance firsthand, since claims are rare, these companies focus on connecting with people's beliefs and values when they sell policies. It's all about finding common ground. Ensure brand consistency by aligning with authentic beliefs. To craft your brand guideline, it's best to involve a design-savvy team or hire a design agency. This document is usually kept short, around 5 pages, lays out your brand's identity consistently. It covers everything from the tone of language to preferred color schemes. Start by defining your company's core beliefs. From there, distill them into 2 or 3 powerful values. These values will guide your actions and resonate with customers, developing a sense of belonging. Use these values in your communication materials, like taglines or value propositions. Avoid insincerity and vanity values, values that lack real purpose or action behind them. It's crucial to deliver on what you promise to avoid disappointing customers and causing friction. The power of customer connection. Steve Jobs understood how important it was for customers to connect with a company's beliefs. That's why he took the customer experience seriously. He worried that if employees at big stores didn't understand Apple products, it would hurt the brand. So, in 1999, he came up with the idea for the Apple Store. It was more than just a place to buy things, it was a physical representation of the brand. The store was simple, spacious, and attractive, reflecting Apple's focus on creativity. People tend to stick with companies that share their beliefs, even if those companies mess up sometimes. Take Tesla, for example. When they unveiled their Cybertruck in 2020, the demonstration went wrong, with a window shattering. But instead of turning customers away, 150,000 trucks were ordered the next day. Why? Because people believed in what Tesla stood for. Design a diverse customer journey drawing from various inspirations. Q4 is like a fresh start for a founder, where you have total freedom to shape how your customers experience your business. Think of it as a blank canvas waiting for your creative touch. Before someone becomes a customer, they go through a series of interactions with your business. These interactions can happen through various channels, like online chats or emails. To make these interactions memorable, you need to design a smooth journey for your customers, drawing inspiration from sources outside your industry. For example, think about how Disney makes your vacation experience unforgettable. Now, let's break down the steps of this customer journey in a simple flow diagram. Your initial strategy shapes customer trust, impacting your final outcome. Think of your interactions with customers as playing a game with different stages: early, middle, and final. Each stage is important for keeping customers engaged and satisfied. In the early stage, you need to grab their attention with great value propositions. This is like the beginning of a game where you set the rules and objectives. If you fail here, customers might drop out before even getting started. In the middle stage, you have to keep the momentum going. This is where you solve their problems quickly and efficiently. Imagine this as the challenging part of the game where you need to keep them interested and motivated. Finally, in the end game, you've got to seal the deal by building trust. This is like the climax of the game where everything comes together. If you've done well in the early and middle stages, customers will trust you to help them achieve their goals. Sometimes companies mess up by spending too much time talking instead of focusing on solving problems quickly. Customers want quick solutions, not long conversations. Attract early customers by offering multiple compelling benefits. If your startup is under 3 years old, focus on beefing up your early game. In the beginning, it's all about getting to know your customers inside out. Sales can take a back seat for now. Instead, take a cue from Steve Blank's book, The 4 Steps to Epiphany, and concentrate on understanding how to turn potential customers into loyal ones. Offer different things on your website to see what catches people's interest. Maybe promise them an extra 15 minutes of service time, invite them to request quotes, join your newsletter, or skip the line. By doing this, you'll start building profiles of your customers. As you figure out what your customers are all about, group them based on what they like the most among your offerings. This way, you'll understand what they need as they progress with your product or service. Design a triage process to retain customers effectively in mid-game. Improve your business's early game and beef up its middle game if it's been around for more than 3 years. Your goal is to hit what Mark Andreessen, a Silicon Valley big shot and Netscape co-founder, calls product market fit. You reach this sweet spot when 40% of your customers can't live without your product. To beef up your middle game, use the smarts you've gathered from studying your customers, what makes them buy, what they want to achieve, and what they think. Then, tailor your approach to close deals with different groups of customers. Think of it like sorting through patients in an emergency room. You create different paths for each customer group, guiding them to experiences that suit them best. In your business journey, around 30% of your customers might vanish in the middle phase. Avoid common mistakes like bombarding them with desperate emails or using pushy sales tactics. These missteps can ruin the trust you've worked hard to establish early on. Instead, focus on making your communications valuable, confident, and transparent. Cut down on unnecessary middle phase interactions to keep the flow smooth from the beginning to the end. This way, you'll keep your customers moving forward without unnecessary hurdles. Success is achieved by orchestrating an ideal end-game scenario. Determine when someone becomes a customer by looking for key actions, like paying a deposit or making a booking. This shows they're close to committing. But don't count them as a customer until they meet all your criteria, like making a first payment or completing most of your onboarding process. Salespeople might want to add someone to their customer list early for bonuses, but that can cause issues if the person never actually becomes a customer. So, wait until they've met all your requirements before labeling them a customer. Once you grasp the 4QS framework, use it to steer decisions across your company. Compare your sales approach with your rivals, testing how smoothly your startup operates. Figure out which areas you fine-tuned and where you still need work. Don't just react to competitors. Set the rules of the game yourself. Key points. 1. Streamline sales tasks with effective systems to save time and boost sales. 2. Understand the target audience and buying triggers to tailor sales strategies. 3. Craft authentic brand guidelines reflecting core values for consistency. 4. Create meaningful customer connections by aligning with their beliefs. 5. Design diverse customer journeys to enhance the overall experience. 6. Achieve success by orchestrating an optimal end-game scenario.